The court will proceed to the sixth case, United States versus Abebe. Mr. Marsh?
May it please the court. The essential function of the criminal justice system, the Anglo-American criminal justice system, state and federal, is the imposition of punishment, obviously, on people who have committed crimes. A bedrock principle of the Anglo-American criminal justice system is that punishment should not be imposed gratuitously. And over the history, the common law history of the criminal justice system, the principle has developed that there are four basic purposes for punishment, and those four purposes should be followed in determining what the appropriate punishment is for a person who's been convicted of having committed a crime. The Congress, in enacting Section 3553A, incorporated those four purposes of punishment into the factors and included the bedrock principle that punishment should be imposed only to serve those purposes and should not be imposed gratuitously when the Congress said that the court, the district court, should impose a sentence which is sufficient but not greater than necessary to serve these purposes.
And Mr. Marsh, it may be that you have the unfortunate task of following exactly the same question that we just addressed, but this one strikes me even more of a situation where we're saying that Judge Barker needed to use magic words, and that by her choice of saying what was reasonable, we're to presume that wasn't shorthand for what she certainly understood was the standard of sufficient but not greater than necessary. And the reason I say that here in particular is because she goes through the 3553A factors in the context of arriving at her sentence. She discusses at length the nature and circumstances of the crime, the history and characteristics of the defendant, uses those words in doing so, and then arrives at her sentence. And it seems to me that maybe more than the last argument, you are arguing that she has to say this is sufficient but not greater than necessary, or she hasn't satisfied 3553A, and I don't think that's the law, is it?
No, Judge, Your Honor, I'm not advocating that principle at all. Magic words are not required, but the words in the statute do have meaning. And the significance here, I think, and there's nothing in the record from which the court can infer that when the district court judge referred to reasonable, that she really meant something else. But the reason that's so important here is that there are two well-established principles of procedure, two well-established standards to be used in determining sentencing. One is a standard for the district court, sufficient but not greater than necessary. The other is the appellate standard, the typical appellate standard of deferring to the discretion of the district court and determining whether that determination is reasonable. They're very different procedures.
But if a district judge says, I want to consider what's reasonable here, is that's procedural error by itself, simply by using that shorthand?
I suggest that it is, Judge. And another reason that it's a problematic and not a harmless procedural error, because it distorts then the function of this court in performing its appellate function. The procedure is supposed to be, the statute says, as I've said, the district court imposes a sentence which is sufficient but not greater than necessary. And then the Supreme Court has said in the Gall case that this court's function is to determine whether that determination by the district court judge is within the bounds of reasonableness.
Well, but on the other hand, I think we are back to magic words, that she should have said this is sufficient but not greater than necessary. And because she didn't say that, we have to remand these for resentencing. And I mean, what else should she have said? What else should she have considered than the details that she went into with compelling description as to the heinous nature of this robbery? I'm at a loss as to what else. What did she have to say that she didn't say?
It's not magic words, I submit, Your Honor. It's rather the decision has to be made. The judgment has to be made. There's no way that this court can decide that the judgment has ever been made that this punishment is not greater than necessary to serve the purposes of punishment.
And I read her eloquent comments and conclude that that's exactly what she found.
That distorts then, Your Honor, the function of this court, which is put in the position of doing a de novo review of the decision made by the district court judge. The district court judge says this is a reasonable sentence. Your function now is to determine whether that's a reasonable sentence, so you are effectively conducting a de novo review.
I mean, we have two functions, and I don't understand the argument that you could say this was under the Court of Appeals standard, this wasn't shouldn't get the benefit of a presumption of reasonableness. But I'm trying to stick to the first argument, which is whether there was procedural error. And I guess what I'm asking is, reflecting that there was detailed arguments made by both sides and that this judge showed a great comprehension of the specific facts, reflected that in the record, and appeared to be reflecting a thoughtful sentence, how could we find that that was procedural error unless it's that she didn't use magic words?
The only other way I think I can try to explain it, Your Honor, is that, as this Court has said, reasonableness is a range. So the way I read the explanation of the sentence of the district court judge, she has said that this sentence is within the range of reasonableness. But that's your function. That's not her function. So this defendant never knows whether part of his sentence was gratuitous or not. He knows that it's within the range of reasonableness, but he doesn't know whether it's greater than was necessary. It's a very important procedural basic requirement, Your Honor, I would suggest, and not just the use of magic words. I completely understand your point.
She goes so far as to say the guidelines didn't capture the full nature and circumstances of this defense, and the defendant's history and characteristics are outside what one would have presumed under the guidelines for a typical defendant. Those are exactly the factors she needs to articulate in order to justify an above-guideline sentence, and that's exactly what she does.
But the statute requires more, Your Honor, and what I'm suggesting is that the basic principle of punishment all throughout the Anglo-American system is that the judge needs to make a decision that is not just fair, is not just appropriate, but does not impose any punishment beyond that is necessary to serve the purposes of punishment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. March. Mr. Warden?
May it please the Court, good morning. My name is James Warden. I represent the government here today, as I did before the district court, and I'll begin by responding to Judge Conley's colloquy with the appellant's counsel, and the United States certainly embraces what it hears you to say, and that is that the record here makes clear that Judge Barker did exactly what she was supposed to do with respect to these findings. Mr. Marsh, in representing Mr. Abebe, had used the words that are the subject of this discussion today in his argument, that is, that the sentence must be sufficient but not greater than necessary to meet the purposes of Section 3553A. So the judge heard that and responded to it, and she responded to it by carefully and in great detail delineating the reasons that she found for imposing the sentence. There's no case law, there's no statute, there's no theory in the common law that Mr. Marsh suggests that requires the use of any particular words. And in fact, the government would suggest that clearly would put the form over the substance in this case.
Nor is there any prohibition on the district court's use of the word reasonable.
There's no, thank you, Ed Sykes. There's absolutely no reason why. A matter of fact, I understand this, the government understands this distinction between the district court's role and the appellate court's role and what reasonableness means.
Well, no, that only goes to the issue of a presumption.
Exactly.
It doesn't forbid the judge from using the word reasonable to describe her sentence.
The district court is required to impose a reasonable sentence. And we're not talking about the presumption. We're talking about what sentence is appropriate. And so the question is, did the court follow the right procedure? And this district judge did. She followed the steps. There was no dispute about what the guidelines were. There was no procedural error other than what has been raised here. And she carefully explained her bases for imposing the sentence that she did. And so the United States here suggests that a remand would be unnecessary to have her say magic words. Mr. Marsh did not address the sentence itself, the substantive part of this, in his argument so far today. I will do that if the court wants, because I know I have plenty of time, but I don't want to needlessly take up this court's time. Would the court like to hear any recitation regarding the substantive reasons that the district court imposed the sentence that it did? Having heard none, I will rest with that. Thank you, judges.
Marsh? All right. All right. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.